Chapter 8. The Nightmare Continues. But it was hard to stay positive for a long time. The birds kept tapping and hammering at the window boards, and after a while, Nat heard a new sound, as though sharper beaks had joined the others. He tried to think of the names of birds and what sort of bird this could be. It was not the tap-tapping of a woodpecker. That would be light and frequent. These were more powerful, more aggressive. If it continued long, the wood would break, like the glass had done. Then he remembered a few hawks he had seen earlier in the day. He hadn't really paid attention at the time, but now they came back to mind. Birds of prey. He had forgotten them. Could the hawks have joined the other birds, using their sharp talons and murderous beaks? This was very bad news. There were still another 3 hours till the tide turned, and he could hear the sound of splintering wood, the talons tearing at it. Nat looked around, trying to see what furniture he could break to fortify the door. The window was safe because of the cupboard pushed against it, but he was no longer certain about the door. He went upstairs, but when he reached the top, he stopped and listened. Something was tapping on the floor of the children's bedroom. The birds had broken through. He put his ear on the door. No mistake, he could hear the beating of wings and the sound of their feet on the floor. The other bedroom was all right. He went into it and began bringing out furniture to put against the door of the children's bedroom in case the birds broke through.
"Come down, Nat! What are you doing?" called his wife.
"I won't be long," he shouted. "I'm just making sure everything's safe."
He didn't want her to come upstairs. He didn't want her to hear the sound of the birds' feet in the children's bedroom and the sound of the birds as they flew in through the windows and smashed their heads against the walls. Luckily, the children's bedroom was not over the kitchen, so Helen didn't hear it.
"Can you put the kettle on?"
Nat called to his wife a few minutes later.
"I want another cup of tea."
Then he came downstairs, trying to look calm, and sat down at the kitchen table with his wife.
"A good cup of tea will help," his wife said with a tired smile. "I can't sleep with all this going on."
So they sat for a while, their hands round their mugs, watching the children who had fallen asleep. Finally, they too fell into a disturbed sleep. At 5:30, the children woke up and soon became restless. Nat decided that breakfast would keep them busy for a little while. But they were tired and irritable, and even bacon and eggs only helped a little. Nat found himself watching the clock, wondering why time was passing so slowly. If his theory was not correct and the attack didn't stop when the tide turned, he knew that they were beaten. They couldn't continue through the long day without air, without rest, without coal. If this attack continued for a few days, there were many things they would need. "Maybe it's better in the towns," he thought. "Maybe, after all, I should try to get the family to my cousin Joe." His wife interrupted his thoughts.
"It's 7:00, she said. "But there's no news on any of the radio stations. They promised us a broadcast at this time."
They waited for 15 minutes, turning the dial this way and that, and then they gave up.
"Perhaps we made a mistake," Nat said quietly.
and there'll be news and instructions at 8. But in his heart, he knew that there wouldn't be any broadcast. From now on, they'd have to depend on themselves. But he didn't say so. They left the radio turned on, and Nat wondered how long the battery would last. That was another thing he would have to find when he could.
"Look, it's getting light," his wife said, a while later. "And I don't think the birds are making so much noise."
She was right. The tearing sounds and the beating of wings had become weaker. The tide had turned. By 8, there was no sound at all, except for the wind. It was over. For now. Nat went to the door and slowly pulled away the barricades. He opened the door, kicked the dead birds away from the step, and went outside to breathe the fresh air. He had 6 working hours ahead of him, and he knew he must reserve his strength for the important things, food and coal. If he could get enough of these, they could last another night. But what about tomorrow? Outside, he saw the living birds. The seagulls had gone to ride the waves, as they had done before. The other birds sat silently and waited. Nat saw them, big and small, in the trees and behind them in the fields, rows and rows of birds, all motionless, doing nothing. He went to the end of the garden, but the birds didn't move. They just sat there, observing him, silently.